Wall Street gets a blank check, but Main Street can't borrow a dime. Public employees get a free pass, while the private sector picks up their tab. Who's fighting for business, and how do we turn things around? Welcome back to the second hour of Brian Bushlack's Business Briefing on FM News 101 KXL.
And welcome back to the second half of Business Briefing, approaching 7 minutes after 5 o'clock as an afternoon turns to evening here on the final weekend in January. Hope you're enjoying it as we roll up our sleeves for February. And welcome back. I want to thank Suzanne Stevens from the Portland Business Journal for sharing her insight on the local economy in our last hour. If you'd like to podcast that segment, head to our website, KXL.com. It just posted a few moments ago. And great stuff from Suzanne, so thanks again to her. Off the top of the show, I mentioned that we typically don't get into politics on this show. However, unfortunately, for those of you who don't want politics in your business, it's been that way since the, 1800s. So we bring in Patrick Stone from Williston Financial Group and WFG National Title to talk about what's going on. First off, Pat, welcome to the show. I know you've been on the road a lot. Thanks for your time and insight here. You know, it's been interesting watching these Republican debates and what's going on in our country. And you and I both know it's not the first time that there's been class warfare. But it's interesting to see a guy like Mitt Romney, who has done very well and played by the rules, being attacked for not paying enough taxes. What's your take on this?
Well, I'm not sure that's really what precipitated the problem here, Brian. I think he should have been a little bit more forthcoming. He created an expectation that was then fulfilled by the results, and that is that his tax rate was going to be below what the current conversation is. Buffett really brought the issue to a head, saying that he paid less than his secretary. And, of course, I think Obama had the Secretary of the State of the Union address.
Yeah.
I think Mitt Romney made a mistake by not being a little bit more forthcoming on his taxes. You know, the reality is that our tax system is probably, I think almost everybody would say, it's almost dysfunctional. We need to go to a much lower rate and have a much broader application. And what has been done over the last 40 or 50 years with all the adjustments is that we have lost what was essentially a commitment to a progressive tax rate with various adjustments for different investments and so forth. I'll give you just a little example. If you go back to the early 70s, the top marginal tax rate on income was about 70, or actually it was higher than that. It was about 90% at one point. And the top rate on investment income or capital gains was 30%. And this progressively, both have been progressively lowered multiple times. And we are now at a point where capital gains are 15%, and the top marginal tax rate is 35%. And I think we have confused the issue. We've created a sense of inequity with a lot of people. But getting back to Romney, I don't know that he's being vilified for being a capitalist. I think he is getting some flack for not being more forthcoming because he created the expectation that he felt bad about it by withholding it. So sort of a mistake on his part, I think, politically.
Pat Stone joining us from Williston Financial Group and WFG National Title here. It's interesting, though, when you look at this and the way it's been positioned, though, by the media so far, is that, you know, this is almost unfair. And yet I look at Romney as, you know, a stand-up guy, regardless, you know, religion doesn't matter to me anyway. The guy's a clean-cut guy. He's raised a great family. He's played by the rules. He paid his taxes, and he's donated a lot of money to charity. And yet he's positioned as the villain here. It just seems wrong to me.
Well, I think there's two things going on here. There's the media creating an issue or trying to get coverage or additional interest by making an issue or positioning an issue as being unfair or inequitable or in some way wrong. If you look at most of the polls and surveys that are done on the American public and how they feel about capitalism and the ability to earn money, most people still embrace the concept of free enterprise. Most people still embrace the idea that You have unlimited opportunity. But getting back to the tax structure, we've got to change that because it is, one, too confusing. It is probably inequitable in ways that we can't even articulate. But until we correct that, we're going to have, it's going to create situations where the media will jump on these things and make a big issue out of something that was more of a mishandling of a political opportunity than necessarily that he did something wrong with his finances.
I think one of the best things you said on the show, of the many, was the fact that there's a lot of Republicans and Republican-leaning people out there who say, get the government out of business. I don't want the government in my life. Get them out of business. And I remember you saying, you know, what I said up the top, you know, government's been in business since the 1800s, you know, stop bellyaching about that because that's the way it is. However, when you see things like Dodd-Frank and what it's doing to or potentially going to do to the mortgage industry, I have several mortgage veterans telling me off the record, you know, we don't know what's going to happen here in the second half of this year. We're very concerned about what's going to happen in the market because some of the big players are planning to exit. You and I both know what happened with MetLife a couple of weeks ago. They just said, screw it, we're out. And thousands of people lost their jobs. It really is kind of scary when you see things like that that have that type of impact.
Yeah, I would agree with you, Brian. I think, you know, if you step back and look at and we've talked about this before on your show, you step back and look at the United States versus the rest of the Organization of Economic Cooperation and Development countries, basically all the free market countries that are not communistic or state-controlled. And there are, you know, a significant amount of companies in the OECD. If you look at the U.S., it actually ranks fairly well when you measure it in terms of regulatory issues. I think it's about fourth. In other words, it's the fourth least regulated market in the world. Now, having said that, we have a tremendous amount of uncertainty, and we have prolonged it with regards to the financial mess, much to the detriment of the economy, the American public, and housing recovery. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, the process of making the rules, defining the rules, getting public input has been confusing. It has been exhaustive, and it still is uncertain exactly what's going to happen. We still don't know precisely where we're going to be on QRM. We are going through some multiple iteration of documents and requirements and disclosures. It is still up in the air, and I think while the intent was good, the execution here has been very, very poor. The bottom line, and I think this is your point, Brian, the bottom line is we're creating a tremendous amount of uncertainty at the wrong time. We are in we're still in economic straits. We are still suffering from a tremendous problem in the housing industry, and yet we're trying to refine a massive regulatory overhaul that perhaps is reaching a little too far, a little too fast.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, you look at this and not only that, but the fact that, you know, I swear I heard Obama say in the State of the Union that he's planning to hire more people to investigate the mortgage mess. I'm thinking, haven't we already done that? I mean, come on.
Well, this is interesting you bring this up because, you've followed this potential settlement with the big banks and servicers. The number being thrown around is $25 billion. And, you know, the issue is that there was some illegal activity. Was there criminal activity? You know, I still don't see a remarkable amount of criminal activity considering the size of the issue.
Yeah.
But there was illegal. There was some laws broken, robo-signing. There were some things done very poorly administratively and illegal. There should be some accountability for that illegality. What's happened here is we've got a proposed settlement on the table with the state AGs of $25 billion, but it's not. I don't think the settlement is as imminent as everybody thinks, because quite a few state AGs do not want to give up their ability to seek criminal penalties should they find actual evidence of criminality. Now, what Obama's talking about is let's take this investigation and move it from the banks and the servicers. Let's go look at Wall Street. And we're going to a whole new venue here to look for wrongdoing. The fact is that the bulk of the problems with the mortgage collapse were created by greed, sloppy practices, and easy credit. There was no masterminded underlying illegal enterprise here. People grabbed the money because it was easy to get, and they got sloppy in the process. But we are exhausting this because it's good politics for attorney generals who want to go to higher office. It's good politics for Obama. It's good politics for everybody to try to find the guilty party that created all our problems. We created them ourselves.
Yeah, I agree, Pat. And hold that thought. We got to take a break. I want to expand on this when we come back on Business Briefing.